Okay, so we've started the recording, so I'd like to welcome you guys to. It's the first of four conference calls that we have for RT 102, which is Evaluation and Recreation. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting it from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Tonquachin Council. If you're on a computer and you want to open the presentation slides, go ahead. If you can see my screen, I will share them with you, so you don't need to. So it's up to you, whatever works best for you. Nathan, I think that's your phone number, the 793 that just joined. So I'm guessing that you can probably talk if you need to, and we'll do a test. We'll do a test round to start in just a moment to see how we're doing. So this learning event is probably, well, I think some of you found the last learning event tough. This one too is challenging. I have to think through it every time. But after this one, we sort of have a downhill flow to the end of May. So bear with me. I have made the required learning activities. There's four of them, but the middle two are the hardest ones. So, and you do have a two-week break at the end to catch up if you need to. So you actually have up to 6 weeks to complete this learning event. The first and the last required learning activities are a little lighter, and they're more reflective. So, or thinking through things, so they should be able to help you put evaluation into a place where you're at right now. And for those of you who have recently written proposals for projects that, or projects that you're running, you might want to really use this to create an evaluation plan for something that you're actually going to do or use. It's a great opportunity to get some help with that. So this Evaluation and Recreation, or RP 102, it introduces a really important part of our programming cycle. We're going to look at evaluation from the perspective of recreation programming, as well as special events projects and the delivery of recreation services. So a fairly broad perspective on evaluation. And as I'm sure you already know, a good evaluation can help you assess your progress, see how you're moving forward, identify some opportunities where you can move towards, or also successes that have happened. It can help you guide your decision-making and what you're doing, and it can also help you foster a better understanding of the benefits of recreation in your community, in your organization, with the people that you work with. So the learning objectives for this are to understand how evaluation contributes to recreation programming and service delivery, for you to practice developing a basic, underline the word basic, evaluation plan, for us to look at different types of evaluation tools. We all tend to use surveys or feedback forms, but there's lots of other ways to evaluate, lots of other neat tools that we can use. And to understand how we make sense of evaluation data, that's the information that we collect. How do we make sense of it? Because there's a lot of different ways to look at it. So again, we do have four required learning activities and four conference calls for this learning event. Before we get any further into the call, though, let's test everyone's connections. And I'm going to just ask you, I think we all know each other, but I have a question for you. I was going to do it as a poll, but I think, actually, let's just try it and see if I still have it. I think it disappeared on me. I got kicked out. Yeah, I did. So, okay. So I'm just going to ask you to go around and rate your evaluation knowledge and skills on a scale of 1 to 7, where 7 is I'm super comfortable with evaluation. I do it lots. I know how it works. And one is, evaluation freaks me out. It's the last thing I want to do. Somewhere in the middle is, I know evaluation's important, but I'd like to learn how to do it better. And I'll start off, and then we'll go around the circle. I see Melanie, then Nathan, then Misha, then Courtney. So that can be our circle for today. For myself, I'm somewhere between a 5 or a 6. Every time I do evaluation, I find I learn something new, and there's always something that I need to remember because I don't do enough of it to feel like it just flows off the tip of my tongue type thing. So even though I do it every year, I still feel like I have to learn new skills and rethink things through. So I would say maybe a 6 probably. So Melanie, how about you? Where do you stand? You just muted. So the question is, rate yourself or rate your evaluation knowledge and skills on a scale of 1 to 7, where 7's absolutely amazing, like expert, and 1 is I run the other way when I hear the word evaluation because it freaks me out.
I better say 6 because I studied sociology, so this was part of my work, doing evaluations, creating surveys, and all other forms of evaluation. So this was my studies in Germany.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is great. That means we can learn from you too. So thank you. That's wonderful. Well, it's always good because all of our brains together make a lot more information and knowledge than our brains on their own. So that's great. Thank you. Ethan, how about yourself? You're next in my circle. What would you say? Oh, you've got around a 5 or maybe a 6 on a good day like that. There's good days and bad days. Thanks, Nathan. Misha, how about yourself?
I would say I'm probably a 6. I did take, I have a certificate from the Canadian Evaluation Society, but with each project, I don't know, I always get intimidated with new things because it's a whole new, like you said, set of skills to figure out specific to that project what you're looking for. And yeah, I would say like a 6. I need more practice and a good refresher.
Yeah, the Canadian Evaluation Society has some great coursework. Like, I've done a couple of theirs, too, and also I did some through my master's, like qualitative evaluation and stuff. But I still, like, as you said, like, there's new things that come out. Like, there's an area called principles-focused evaluation. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. And I'm a big fan of something called developmental evaluation, which in the Explore More section, there's a really great primer in there around that, too. So there's lots of different ways of thinking through it, and as we're all working with Indigenous communities too, that's another big area is how can we see the world through the eyes of the people that we're working with and supporting rather than through our own eyes. So Nathan can help us with that one as well. And Nathan, I can tell the phone voice isn't working, but I see all your expressions, so you're participating. Thanks. Courtney, how about yourself? How do you feel about your evaluation knowledge and skills on a scale of 1 to 7, where 7's lots and 1 is I run the other way?
There we go. Sorry, Tim wouldn't unmute me for a minute there. I'd say probably about a 5 or 6. Like, I'm fairly comfortable with evaluation. I just feel like there's always more to learn and different methods to try.
That's great. Thank you. And so I think all of us together are keen to sort of embark on a learning journey for the next 4 weeks into evaluation and what it means. So some of this might be a refresher for you, but also use it to apply to what you're doing in your role or what you will be doing at this point in time and challenge yourself to do something that maybe you haven't tried before as far as evaluation. So you know, take from this what works best for you. So it's great to hear. Sometimes I do have people who rate themselves as a 2 or a 3. So it makes it a more interesting dynamic. So I'd like to just start, before our next round of discussions, I'd just like to review a bit of content. And I'm going to share the slides. Hopefully this works for everybody. And it will make it just a bit easier because then you can see where I'm talking from. So we'll present. I don't have my 100% faith in technology today, right now, but it seems to be working there. So as you can see on slide 8, evaluation is part of this programming cycle. And you will have seen this model in other learning events, especially if you have done our core learning events, which was the Certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. PE 101 and RP 101 that have been introduced the same cycle as well. So you can see that evaluation helps us gather and make sense of information that we use in our roles as recreation leaders. It's really important to note that evaluation is not something that we do randomly every 5 years. That sounds like most of you already know that. It's not a test and it's not a judgment. And another really important thing to keep in mind, it's not the same as research. And I've learned that over my years. So evaluation and research, although they have similarities, they're not the same thing. valuation sometimes feels like a lot of extra work because you have to add it on to what you're doing, but it's also a really important part of programming. So slide 9 links you to the Canadian Evaluation Society that Misha just mentioned. Really great resource if you're interested in more. So, and as Misha mentioned, you can get a certificate in evaluation too, which looks great on a resume as well. So this points out that evaluation is a purposeful process or intentional, like we're actually engaging in it for the reasons to help improve what we're doing. Or sometimes we do evaluation to prove that what we're doing works or perhaps doesn't. So if we have a clear purpose, evaluation can help us measure our progress and look for the gaps in what we're doing. So essentially, you can think of evaluation as providing evidence for making good decisions and helping us deliver the right programs and services to the right people. So the next few slides, slide 10 through 16, which I won't dig into in a great detail, but they talk about the way in which we approach an evaluation requires us to think about why we evaluate, what we evaluate, when we evaluate, who is involved in evaluation, and how we evaluate. So those are kind of, that's how we frame this whole learning event. So I'd like to just highlight a little bit of information on slide 11. I'm sure that you guys on the call are already familiar with this, but this is a really important concept. And the resource here is an amazing resource. It's from 2007, but I've gone back to it time and time again. So if it interests you to follow up on other resources, this one's great too. So what this diagram shows is it's similar to a logic model that we've introduced in other learning events. But what it basically shows is that the work we do, so the processes, leads to outcomes that eventually lead to benefits or impacts. So we do something, we get some outcomes, and those outcomes multiply and end up being impactful or beneficial in our community. So processes, if we're looking at how well we do our work, that looks at the inputs that we do as well as the things that the activities that we do. So do we have enough resources? Are we providing the programs at the right time? Things like that. So you might hear that referred to as process evaluation. When outcomes result from what we do, so that would be more outcome evaluation. And then impact or benefits sort of shows our over, it's a bigger picture. And so what this slide basically shows you is that there's different reasons why we evaluate, there's different things to evaluate, and different times to evaluate. So here's my key point for you for this learning event. Each evaluation that you do is going to be different, and that's why I think none of us said we're at a 7. There's always something we can learn. The other key tip is you can't evaluate everything. I've seen evaluation plans that are absolutely mind-boggling, and so keep in mind you can't evaluate everything, so be sure to evaluate what will be most useful. So this week we're going to look into a bit more how we approach evaluation, and next week we're going to start to learn how to plan an evaluation. And so, again, some of these slides, when, I'll let you review these on your own, who, evaluation approaches, and then we talked about types of evaluation. There's also a glossary in at the top underneath where you link to the presentation slides, and that glossary can help you with some terminology if you're wondering what some of the terms are that are used. Okay, so I'm going to stop the slides for a second, and I have a question for everybody. I'll pop the question in the chat, and I'll also repeat it in case you can't see the chat. So my question is to you is to ask you to share one factor or one thing that you think might influence how you approach evaluation. And I see a spinning wheel for Melanie, so I'm going to let Melanie, we'll come back to Melanie. Nathan, I'm going to put you on the spot. There's only 4 of you guys, so you all have turns being put on the spot first for the question. Oh, actually, you're typing in the chat, so you go ahead and think about it, and I'll ask Nisha the question. Nisha's smiling. So, Nathan, you get to pop in the chat. So we'll go Misha, Courtney, Melanie, and then come back to Nathan. What's one factor that influences how you approach evaluation, Misha? Anything. There's no right or wrong answer here.
Whether I'm the direct project manager who's working with the people that the project impacts, or I'm not.
Okay, so if you are actually doing the project and you're evaluating your own project, is that what you're saying? It might influence more so than if somebody's asked you to do an evaluation and you have no knowledge of that project before.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, because obviously I think we might bring a bias, right? If it's our project and we're evaluating our own project, I do that with the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon stuff all the time. I'm evaluating it, and I stop myself, and I'm like, yeah, but I've been evaluating this and helping them plan this for 20 years. Of course I'm biased towards that it works or it doesn't work, right? So is that kind of what you're alluding to, that
I think
you have
so.
This bias? Depends
That's
on
what I could come up with on the spot.
I know. And I'll come back around in case you think of anything else. So, Courtney, how about yourself? Can you think of anything that influences how you approach evaluation?
I think the type of the program or event is going to influence how I evaluate it. Like if it, yeah, I don't know, just going off of some of the things that we run, like I evaluate our fitness programming very differently than I evaluate like one-day family events versus seniors programming, social programming, things like that.
Yeah, so your evaluation then, you're more program-focused. Do you ever put that all together into a bigger evaluation that looks at all of those things combined?
No, I'm in the middle of creating a recreation needs survey, or rec needs assessment for our town.
That's great. So this might actually be something that you could do is, if you're looking at each of your individual programs, then have you take those and look at them all together in one package. And that would definitely influence how you approach evaluation for sure. And from what I can hear you saying when you're talking about different programs, you mean like whether it's a one-time, a multi-time with lots of sessions, but also perhaps who your participants are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'd be different evaluations based on what the programming it is, or what the programming is and who the target.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Courtney. Well, hopefully we can maybe help you a little bit with your needs assessment because that is a type of evaluation, so maybe we'll be able to help you with that.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, so keep that, put that frame on maybe, like, because that's the whole point of this training is to help you do something that's useful. So maybe that lens might work for you for this learning event. So great. Okay, and I see, Melanie, you rejoined us. So do you want me to repeat the question?
No, I have it right here. So maybe one of the factors would be who is on the receiving end, who is the receiver of my evaluation in the end. That defines on what I would use it for. And sometimes it's, do I need evaluation to make better decisions, or is it just like a feedback for, like, let's say, for grant money, but maybe it needs to be how do I improve my programs, so it's more for decision making, and that will then depend on how I will approach evaluation, I would say.
Yeah, and that's really, really important. And sometimes we mix those reasons together, and that can make evaluation more complicated to do.
Yeah.
So it's very important to be clear about your purpose for evaluation, as well as the audience. Who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for a funder? Are you doing it? A needs assessment would probably be for your community and also for your organization, your decision makers. So there's lots of different people we do evaluations for, which informs the purpose of why we're doing it. So as you guys move forward, thanks for that tip, Melanie. Think about when you get into week two and week three required learning activities to think about being very clear in your purpose for what you want to do. Because if our scope creeps bigger and bigger, you can imagine your evaluation gets bigger and bigger too. Like, you can't even see my hands on the screen anymore. So I've done that too, where it just sort of morphs and, well, you forgot this and you forgot this and you wanted to do this and you wanted to do this, whereas we need to make sure that we can define it so that it's done properly and well and is useful. Nathan, did you want to pop something in the chat about a factor that might influence how you approach evaluation? And while you're doing that, I'll just say Nisha's added objectives. Do you want to clarify that, Nisha?
Yeah, maybe like when you're planning a project and you have those objectives of like what you're going to do, that impacts, or I've had like three, obviously, that like impacts what you're evaluating. Because if you're evaluating how many oranges, like you have an objective to have 10 oranges in your bowl, but you have banana, I don't know, I'm just talking, but I hope, I don't know if I'm getting to something.
I think what you're saying probably leads on what Melanie said, is that you have to be clear, like you have to have a clear purpose, but then you also have to have clear objectives, whether they're objectives from before when you were doing your planning, which is why evaluation is part of our overall programming cycle, or whether we're developing objectives as part of our evaluation plan. And it has to be clearly linked to something. Is that kind of right?
Yeah. I popped it in the chat, but yeah, Melanie said it better.
That's great, thanks. And Nathan, let me see if I can, the gist of what I'm getting from you is that as an evaluator, when you do evaluation, sometimes you have to be unbiased. You can't take sides. You can't favor somebody because they're from your family, your community, because their job depends on it, or anything like that. So if you're doing evaluation, it should be unbiased. I think it's impossible to make it ever truly unbiased. We all have different ways of looking at the world, and that in and of itself is a bias. But I hear what you're saying, and sometimes you thought about criticizing people and they take it personally. Sometimes evaluation is hard to hear. But sometimes if we don't say it, things won't change. So evaluation is not easy when we're doing hard stuff. Does that make sense? Is that sort of what you're saying? Okay. A couple of other things that I think about, and if you guys want to add to the conversation, just either unmute or talk in the chat. The other thing for me is how much time I have to do evaluation. I have seen some RFPs, or requests for proposals, to do evaluation, and they give you like 2 months to do all the work. I saw one in December that I would have been super interested in doing, but they wanted it done by the end of March, and the call for proposals came up out in October. They were awarding the contract in November, and it was quite a large community-based one. So it's, you know, the time frame definitely has to be considered. And especially in our small communities, we can't sometimes rush people's input. So that's tough. The other thing is the amount of money you have for evaluation. When we evaluate Recreation North, it's pretty hard to run focus groups in all of your communities about the impact of Recreation North, because that would cost us over $1 million to do that. Oh yeah, there's different things that we need to consider. So thank you for that conversation. So whether you're the person tasked with an evaluation, or whether you're just working with someone who's going to do it for you or with you, like a consultant, it's really important to understand the roles and responsibilities of an evaluator. So I'd like to take a little bit of time to consider what those roles and responsibilities are in a recreation context. So there's only four of us on the call, so I'll just do one question at a time, I think. And if you have something to contribute, feel free to speak up when we come around to you. Nathan, I'll rely on you popping in the chat. And if you like something somebody else says, just put your thumbs up and we'll see that you agree with what they have to say too. So, Nisha, I won't put you on the spot this time. Courtney, I'm going to go to you first, and here's the question. So if you think about working, and this might sound like a strange question, but what does an evaluator do? And just come up with one thing. You don't have to answer the whole question with everything that pops into mind. So, Courtney, any thoughts?
So on what an evaluator does, I'd say, I mean, in terms of the work that I do, it's, an evaluator helps to judge the success of a program or an event.
The success, like, is able to judge that?
Yeah.
Or give some feedback?
Like, whether or not it was successful. And I mean,
great.
The definition of success can change, but, yeah.
That's excellent. That's, yeah, so that's an important sort of, perhaps, responsibility, right, that goes along with that role. Thanks, Courtney. Melanie, do you have anything to add to that? What does an evaluator do?
I think gathering data in different ways and then I can't think of the English word right now, I'm sorry.
Tell me German, because I can sometimes understand German.
The surveys or the interviews or the summary of it. Sorry, I'm
or like the analysis.
Yeah.
Like when you take all the information and you put it together and you make
that's the word.
Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like you gather stuff. But somebody has to make sense of it. So they have an evaluator, hopefully supports that process, looks at that process, has an understanding of how to do that, right? So it sometimes involves using tools like Excel files and things like that. So thanks, Melanie. Nathan, go ahead and pop anything in the chat if you think of what an evaluator does, and I'll go to Misha. What else does an evaluator do? I've just got you muted there. So Nathan's got observe everything going on around them and put into some type of metrics or a scale. That's right. So there's a lot of observation perhaps, and as Melanie pointed out, information gathering as well, and then putting it into something that people can understand. Misha, do you have anything to add to what does an evaluator do? Or
I think everybody's kind of covered everything. Maybe they provide recommendations.
Yeah. That builds on what Courtney said about determined success, because sometimes success looks different for different people, and hopefully there might be some recommendations from what you learn from gathering information and sorting through it and figuring out what it makes sense of, because usually there's opportunities, like if we think of it that evaluation might lead to new opportunities. It might lead us to identify, as Nathan pointed out, gaps, things that are missing or need to be improved upon as well. From my perspective, go ahead and jump in. Does anyone have anything else to add about what it, does an evaluator do? Okay, so for me, I think also an evaluator is planning. So planning is a huge part of evaluation. We need to be able to plan what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. This goes back to who our target audience is, who's going to read the evaluation, who is participating in the evaluation, who is the evaluation for, how much money do we have, how much time do we have, what are our objectives, how will we clearly determine if we're successful or not, how will we know what to do with the information we gather. So evaluation planning is a to me, is a really big part of the role of an evaluator. So if you get someone to evaluate something and they don't have a plan for how they're going to do it, I'd be a little concerned with that. So that's just one thing to think about. So here's the next question, and Melanie, I'll pop this in the chat, but I'll also repeat it a couple of times. So my next question will start with Melanie. And again, Nathan, you can pop your answer in the chat. To whom is an evaluator accountable? So it might not be you in your role running a program, evaluating your program, because you're probably accountable back to your boss or your funder. But let's say you're asked to do an evaluation for somebody, or you have someone come and help you do something, like Courtney, if you guys had someone help you with your needs assessment, who would they be accountable to? So Melanie, we'll start with you, and then we'll go Misha, and Courtney and Nathan can pop in the chat. To whom is an evaluator accountable? Thoughts, Melanie?
maybe to the program manager or to funders. That's something that comes spontaneous into my mind.
Yeah. So either to the person whose program it is, and again, it might be you, so that's where you wear two hats, or to your funders. Nathan, you go ahead and pop in the chat what you think. Misha, to whom is an evaluator accountable?
I would say to the people that they are evaluating. There's like a lot of ethics involved, so.
Yeah, that's. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really, really important point. So if we engage people in evaluation, we have a responsibility and an accountability back to them, whether it's to maintain their confidentiality, their trust, but also we've asked them to share something, so we need to share back what the results of that were. So thanks, Misha. That accountability back to people is really important, and we'll start to talk about some of that over the next few weeks, too. Courtney, do you have any other thoughts about to whom an evaluator might be accountable?
Maybe to the people running the programming, like not necessarily the manager of it, but the people who are actually running it. Again, if you are asking for feedback on a program, it's helpful if you're the one that's facilitating that to know what that feedback was.
Yeah, because that would be really hard, eh? Especially, it's kind of like Nathan said earlier that some of his feedback is taken as, you know, like it might not necessarily be positive, right? Can you imagine if the person running that program didn't hear it from you, they heard it from somebody else in the community? That would be really, really challenging. Being able to provide the feedback to the people that are actually running the programs too. And Nathan's popped in the Hamlet Council. So decision makers, absolutely, Nathan. So whether it's your SAO, your CAO, your council, your manager, your supervisor, that's really important. And evaluation can be really good to help support you in your role too. And I think that's what your second comment said. If you don't do evaluation, it's hard to show that you might need extra help or anything like that. So here's one more question. And Misha, I'm going to put you on the spot the first time with this one. Then we'll go to Courtney and Melanie, and then Nathan can pop in the chat. So let me just copy it. The question for you is, what types of bias or biases might an evaluator hold? And we sort of alluded to this at the beginning.
Can the evaluator be the program? Okay, so they're going to have a bias that maybe they think the program is going really well because they care about I want to run a garden program, and I care about it so much, but the money could have been spent doing something else. In my evaluation, it's going to be a success if two people, like, you know, I have that bias, whereas if you have a bias if you're like, I'm really not.
That's okay, don't worry. You also had your hand up. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention?
The fact that I had before is like an evaluation can also kind of save your butt a little bit. When I was in CarMax and I had to, and I held the rugged apprentices, I did an evaluation because my boss was upset with me about how I was doing things, and I wanted to get a paper trail to ensure that like actually I was doing a good job. So they're really important too.
Yeah. So an evaluation can actually put into paper or into a report what you're actually doing, and it's even better if somebody from else does it for you, right? So then there's less bias to it, which is what you said right at the beginning. And I think that connects to, actually, I won't answer it until I think it connects to what Courtney said earlier, but I'm going to let Courtney answer the question rather than put words in your mouth. Courtney, what type of bias or biases might an evaluator hold?
One that I was thinking of that I know I hold is like kind of just where you're at in your position of life. So for me, when I see, like, I've got young kids, so when I see, like, families coming, I'm like, oh, they're having a great time. This is such a successful thing. Whereas maybe if I didn't have young kids, then I wouldn't see it quite that way, and I wouldn't see the same value in it. Yeah, and just different with different types of programming, depending on what your own personal experience, your state of, like, where you're at in your life, you might have a bias that way.
Yeah, that's a really great point, because as I've got older, I definitely agree with you. I start to look at things for older adults and stuff, and now I have a granddaughter, so now I'm back looking at programming for preschoolers again. So, and I think I wanted to come back to what you said about needs assessment. So I think that your opportunity to evaluate in a way that removes some of those biases around, you know, sort of people's personal preference, because it's a bigger picture, then it sort of steps you out and looks at a larger scale from 30,000 feet rather than 5,000 feet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, thanks. Melanie, any thoughts on what types of bias or biases an evaluator might hold?
What I'm thinking of is like the influence of participants in the way we are wording our questions or asking them, or just like body language when we're in interviews or discussions that may influence the respondent's response. So this can cause one bias, and then the other bias is like to have not a large enough sample. So you're asking a too small demographic, which then can come to a wrong conclusion. And then probably the bias of pleasing those that are giving you the money for the survey that you're doing. So also then influencing measurements that you're installing, or again the way you're asking questions to actually already predict a certain outcome of the survey. So this is something that pops to my mind.
Yeah, so you said quite a few different things in there. So again, that's something that perhaps an evaluator need to be self-reflective and to look at that. The challenge with the sample size in our smaller communities is a big challenge. And I think it's also a challenge in that sometimes in recreation, we tend to get feedback and look at the feedback that we get for evaluation purposes from people who are participating. And we often don't catch those people who aren't.
Yeah, and it's also from those participants themselves. I mean, it's how I can influence the participants, but then also that the participants made it be out of anxiety or politeness, who wants to please the evaluator and just say things that are not necessarily their real opinion, just to be nice, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. Nathan, I don't know if you have any thoughts on biases, but the other thing I wanted to touch on, I think, is we have to be very considerate of, thank you, Nathan. I was thinking about this sort of thing, whether it's prejudice or just what Courtney was saying based on it might not even be overt being prejudiced or being biased. It might be just that's the point in your life where you're at, where you're thinking more about a certain age group or age demographic or gender identity or race or ethnicity. So exactly as you said, they don't mean to do it on purpose, but we see this all the time, right? And people always say it was good 20 years ago, but you're right, things have changed a lot today. I think that it's our responsibility. I think a lot of times when we do evaluation, we have those, as Nathan, as you pointed out, those inadvertent or even subconscious biases towards things that we really have to examine in ourselves. And I just wanted to share a story because we have a moment. My son is finishing off a Bachelor of Science degree that's offered at UConn University through the University of Alberta. And they did a course where they did a river trip from Whitehorse to Dawson City. And they were looking at the natural and social history of the area in Dawson, and he shared with me some of the things that were super interesting, because as a white settler in the Yukon, I grew up hearing about Dawson City and the Gold Rush in that era, and that's the predominant history that everybody hears. But in his course, they flipped it around and they started learning the indigenous history of the area and the realities of what happened from an indigenous perspective, and it's so different to what we've heard. And so I think it's, you know, we have these biases based on where we've grown up, where we've been raised, how we've been raised, and as an evaluator, I really believe, and also working in recreation, we have a really important role that we can play that can change people's thinking, as you mentioned, Nathan, things different today than they were 20 years ago. And, you know, if we can recognize what those biases might be and try and overcome them, I think we can do better in recreation. So that's kind of I know that sounds a little bit reflective or whatever, but I think that is a really important thing to bring up. So thank you. That's a really good conversation. I just wanted to ask if anyone else has any personal stories or any other reflections on the work that you've done in your communities or over your careers as far as evaluation. Any thoughts? Or I know you're really tired. You've had a super busy week, several weeks.
I'm actually wondering if the needs assessment is a type of evaluation.
Yeah, what do you think? Courtney, do you have any thoughts about that?
As part of our needs assessment, there is, like, we do ask for people to rate their satisfaction with, like, our current facilities, our current programming, like, indoor and outdoor kind of stuff. So definitely an evaluation of what we have so far, and then we're asking as well for, this is just kind of a very general overview, but asking as well for, like, ideas on what we should expand, improve, introduce, things like that. But there's that evaluation piece where, like how much do you like what we're doing so far? How much do you like the parks, the trails, the actual, like, rec center facility, all the programming that's offered, things like that.
Yeah, and I think you're probably going to ask people that aren't just people taking part in your programs, right? Like, as a community needs assessment?
Yeah, it'll go out to the entire community, and hopefully we'll get, feedback from everybody. It would be really helpful.
Yeah, and there's different ways to do that, right? And so we'll introduce some of those tools that you can do that, and they might be things you've already considered doing, or there might be some other ways to reach people. I worked for about 4 years in Lower Post, which is just outside the community where Melanie's in, and we did a lot of stuff around food. So we had lots of dinners, community suppers, and people came for food, but man, the information you could get from people when they came for dinner, and then you just asked a couple of key questions, and we did some really great community planning work.
I was wondering about this, because that's when I did comprehensive community planning in Beaver Creek. That's why I was wondering, like, oh, this is maybe just like a more thorough evaluation with, like, because we didn't really, like, have any objectives or, like, quantitative things. It was really basic, but, yeah, we also, like, kind of created, like, a baseline on, like, what people thought about what was going on, and then we did, like, community dinners and stuff, and, yeah, the information that we got from that was really helpful.
Yeah. So, Courtney, for your needs assessment, coming back to that, like, and Lisa, if you have the slides open, I won't flip to it, but there's slide 12 says, when do we evaluate? And I think there's a before, a during, and an after. And Courtney, would you say that a needs assessment fits into sort of the before and the after, right? Like, it's we need to change anything. What's working well, what's not. So it's an after, but it's also a before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's kind of how I view it too. I mean, really, it kind of fits into all of them, like, before, during, and after, for us to evaluate programming and stuff as it's running right now as well. And then what have you liked about the past? What do you want to see in the future? So it fits in kind of everywhere.
Yeah, so, and it's definitely, like, what is the purpose, like, if you were to say the purpose for us to do a needs assessment, how could you capture that in one or two sentences? How would you answer that?
Well, the purpose that, like, for us to do this needs assessment right now is it's going to be used, it'll be studied and then be used to develop a 10-year recreation plan for our town.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So you're going to use it to either support what you're already doing, so to say what we're doing is working well, to look for opportunities where you can move towards, right, or to look for things that need filling and maybe don't know what the answers are yet, like gaps that need to be filled.
That's great. It'll be used to determine, like, our budget as well for the next however long, like, what projects are going to be moved into our capital budget.
That's great. So that's kind of a before we move into this planning phase. So that's where we come back to evaluation fitting into the programming cycle, and it's continuous, right? So evaluation can feed into planning, which can feed into programming, but that also feeds back to evaluation. Courtney, do you guys actually have a plan written out for your needs assessment, or is that what you're working on?
That's what I'm working on right now. Actually, I've been working on it for a little while now. It's been going on. We're on draft 2 of it. And I just submitted draft 2 to my, like, to our rec director yesterday. So then he'll review it and we'll continue on from there. So when the rec needs assessment goes out, it'll go out in a survey form. And then from there, we have a contractor hired that will help us with the recreation plan. And she's currently doing our, like, green space master plan for the next 10 years. And between the rec assessment and the green space master plan, they'll go together with our recreation plan for the next 10 years.
Great. Well, hopefully over the next few weeks, we might give you a few ideas to help inform where you're at with your needs assessment planning. So
that would be wonderful. Much appreciated.
Yeah, that's what we're all here for. You've got, like, a whole bunch of brains to help share some ideas. So that actually leads me into your required learning activity, or RLA, for the week. So it's called Thinking About Evaluation, and ideally it's due on Sunday just so you don't get too far behind in things. I know I kind of send out a lot of reminders, but I like to make sure that everybody stays on track when we have lots on the go. So what I'd like you to do for this is to briefly describe an evaluation that might be useful to do. So Courtney, you can actually go ahead and use your needs assessment because you're in the process of planning it. Tell us why it's important, what would be evaluated and when, and who would be involved. So you don't actually have to provide the plan, just to answer those basic questions. And then think about the things that might influence your approach to this evaluation. So whether it's stakeholders, your organization, your funding, your community, your time frame, the needs, things like that. And then what I would really appreciate you guys doing, because everybody has some background in evaluation with different perspectives, is I would like you to read and reply to at least one other person. I think this is a really cool group learning activity. So rather than just posting and leaving your post there, it doesn't have to be a long post, doesn't have to be a long thing, but just something thoughtful and reflective. And when you're thinking about the evaluation that could be useful to do, this is likely something that you want to, in week 2 and week 3, build into a basic evaluation plan. I'm not looking for a complicated one, just basic. So these required learning activities are very similar to the proposal writing one, where I'm looking for the process rather than your actual product. So I'm looking for your thinking, your challenging yourself to think about things in new ways, in a new situation, rather than just the finished product. The finished product is on you, but the process is what I'm looking for. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, any final questions or anything before we wrap up the call? And as always, I will stay on if you have anything, but I really appreciate the conversation today. I went off script a few times, so I think it was a good conversation. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. See you, Nathan.
See you.
Take care, Melanie. We'll talk to you tomorrow if you can make tomorrow's call.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.